Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
not for a detail. Swangled in
Portland. I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate the support. We know you have a lot of choices out there. If you don't mind, if you would be so kind, I'd appreciate it if you would rate the show. If you think we've done a good job, please give us 5 stars. It seems to matter for the algorithm, so we'll play that game for as long as we have to. Big thanks to our sponsors. They help keep this show going. Privacy Academy is the newest sponsor that we have. They've got a system that'll help you deal with what you're up against with regard to people spying on you, taking your information. We've done plenty of episodes about the role of the CIA with Vault 7 and what they're able to do to your computer. We're at a disadvantage because a lot of us don't know even where to start with something like that. Privacy Academy will put you on the right path, show you how to start, where to start. If you get overwhelmed by this stuff like I do, don't worry. They'll walk you through it. It's very simple. They know that you don't know what they know, and they want to teach it to you in a manner that makes sense and is easy to understand. So they go slowly. They break it down into small pieces, make sure that you accomplish the first task before you guys move on to the second task. And if you are so inclined, you can go to my website and find the link for Privacy Academy, or you can just scroll down into the show notes and find it yourself. So go check it out and see what they've got over there. You'll probably be glad that you did. Also, thanks to Legal Shield, they've been in business for half a century in the United States and in Canada, and they'll get you access to an attorney for $30 a month. It is really about the best money you'll ever spend. You'll find that there are so many things that you use this service for, not just creating your last will and testament and financial power of attorney and medical directives and all that stuff that you need. You've got to have that. You don't want to die and then let the state get involved in your affairs through probate. And think of how bad that can go. Don't do that. You got to have a will. And I know you don't want to pay $1,000, $2,000, whatever it costs to go do that. Sign up for Legal Shield. You're going to get an app on your phone, push the button on the app. What do you want? What do you need? I need an attorney to talk to. I need to work through paperwork. What kind of paperwork? Click all the boxes that apply. Last will and testament. Click. Medical. Click. 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 Yep. Okay, great. An attorney will contact you in the next 24 hours to set up a time. They'll call you. Hey, you know, I'm so-and-so in your area. I see what you need. We can do that. When do you want to come in? This is the documentation I'll need from you. Let's knock this out. Get it done in one day. My God, this is just the easiest thing in the world to do. You've got to do it, but you've got to be proactive. You've got to make a decision that now is the time to do it. So go to the website that they built specific for us, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go, and then read up for yourself. See what you think. You run a small business, they have options. You carry a gun, they have options. You need identity shield, they have that too. So there's a lot going on over there. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the best place to do it. And see what you think. I mean, I have it. I mean, if it's a dollar a day, come on. It's really, really very affordable. All right. Now that the business is out of the way, I can remind you that the audiobook for The Octopus of Global Control is available now. It's finally out after 7 years. It's 23 hours. You can get it at Audible, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, wherever they syndicate out to. So a lot of different places. So take a listen. If you got a long road trip or you're just working out or you drive a lot or whatever, you're working in the garden, I don't know, you're going to the gym, you got it. It's there. It's worth a listen. It's the book that started this whole thing. It started all this insanity. What can I say? Boy, I'll tell you what. I forget what show we were doing, but the Peace Corps came up as one of the groups I was talking about. And I have my suspicions about the Peace Corps. I always have, right? They send a bunch of do-gooders out into the world. They're just like all over the place. It reminded me of this because when I found out that the Mormon church was deeply infiltrated by the CIA and that all those Mormon missions were in part information collection, information gathering options for the CIA, like, hey, you're going out to Puerto Rico and knocking on doors, trying to ask people if they'd want to learn about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. While you're there, could you, you know, maybe find out if anybody is plotting against us or whatever? So I always had, when I found out about the Mormon church and their network of guys that are out on the street in the short sleeve white shirts and the black ties with the name tags riding bicycles, I always thought, like, I never thought actually they were part of the CIA until I found out about it. I was like, oh shit, that would make sense. But I always thought that the Peace Corps was up to no good. And of course I'm right. You know, they are terrible. We're gonna do a little bit about the Peace Corps. I mean, the Peace Corps sucks you in, right? It sucks you in early on. It's like, are you sensitive and want to help people and have a lot of white guilt or feel like you want to help? You're so unoppressed that you need to go out and look for oppression elsewhere. Come join the Peace Corps. We'll send you to some East buttfuck wherever in the middle of the South Pacific, and then, you know, you can teach the natives basketball like Ted Stryker did. You know, I mean, like, in my mind that was what was going on, right? And so, you know, you look at the Peace Corps and you go, I have questions. Of course, we're going to get into the Peace Corps. But again, staying with this theme, let's not forget about Greenpeace, right? So let's talk about the peaceful groups that are out there that have weaponized peace, the sheep-dipped do-gooders using peace as a, as bait to sucker people into joining their groups and then going out and, I guess, saving the world, right? Isn't that what Greenpeace is doing? Oh, they're saving the whales. I forgot. They're saving the world. Save the whales. You know, I mean, it's that George Carlin bit. So we'll talk a little bit about this, but what you're going to find out is that, and by the way, we'll start with Greenpeace. We'll end with the Peace Corps. And in the end of this, at the end of this episode, I promise to tie the Peace Corps to 9/11. How about that? How about that for a tease? Stick with me. But you're going to find out that these groups, whether you're in the Peace Corps or whether you're part of Greenpeace, they have ties to the intelligence agencies, of course, deep state. Obviously, they are fully invested in the climate agenda. And we know what that's all about. They have a lot of financial ties to longstanding foundations around the international foundations. I'll get into that. And of course, depopulation. There's always depopulation. It's like, save the whales, but kill the rest of these fucking people, right? How can we murder all these people while simultaneously saving the whales? That's what they're interested in doing. So let's expose these guys, because again, like, I don't know what I'm expecting, but like, it feels extra disgusting to weaponize good people. And let me start from this assumption. My assumption is, if you're somebody, you just got out of college and you join the Peace Corps or you join Greenpeace or whatever, my assumption is that you are probably a good person doing it for the right reasons, actually. That's my assumption. Now, what the organizations have planned for you, that's a totally different story. But I don't think that a lot of people get into Greenpeace as a way of, as a stepping stone towards world government. You know, I don't think that that's like the first step. I think what happened is that Greenpeace was, and the Peace Corps were always dirty and weaponized. They just have been better at hiding it. So we'll start with Greenpeace, and they have much to answer for. You're going to be stunned when you hear the details of who these groups actually are, not who they pretend to be and not who they want you to think that they are. And they've done a great job with the PR. You know, I mean, when I say Greenpeace, you say save the whales, right? Or whatever. I mean, they were the original Just Stop Oil retards. You know, I mean, they aren't the original ones. And frankly, if it was just about saving the whales from overfishing, and I would be on board with that, right? I don't want you to hunt the whales to extinction, like was what was going on in Japan years ago. I mean, I don't want that. So if you're asking me, do you want to save the whales? My answer is absolutely. I want to save the whales. The problem is this group is not just about that. And the reason why you know that, because they're never going to tell you, right? They're not going to say like, well, we like to save the whales while depopulating the planet, right? That's not going to be part of the brochure. And you're never going to hear them say that, right? So don't, you can't look for a confession from them. You have to come at it from a totally different angle. You have to look at not what they're saying or not what they're doing, but you have to look at who is financing them, okay? Because you don't give money to Greenpeace for nothing. You give it to them because they have a mouth. They have an organization that has access to the minds of a lot of people. They can convince people to feel a certain way, one way or the other, right? And that's very valuable to these groups. And so they finance it. And when I get done listening to all of the groups that have financed Greenpeace, you're going to be mortified. Because you're going to go like, oh my God, this, they might as well be the World Economic Forum. And you know what? They kind of are. If we're being honest, let's dig into Greenpeace a little bit. Based in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, they have a staff of about 2,400 people that work there. They are a member of what is known as the Climate Disinformation Coalition. And this is a group of 35 or so organizations that are working to limit, air quotes, disinformation on social media and working to silence and ultimately, you know, fact check and ultimately silence anybody who is critical of climate change. So they're part of the group that is going after anybody that says climate change is not what it appears to be. And climate change is not what it appears to be. We've done these episodes. We will continue to do these episodes. But I don't need to go over this again with the audience, because you already know that pollution is real. And the way you feel about pollution is very warranted. And the way you think, oh, we've got to clean up the oceans and the rivers and can't let these factories pollute all this stuff. And you can't dump all these pesticides in the fucking river. And like, what are you doing? Like, this is crazy, right? We have to clean this stuff up. I'm in 100% agreement with those that say we need to clean this planet up. Yes, we do. But again, that's not climate change, okay? That is them hijacking your emotions and wrapping that around this concept of climate change, which is very amorphous and very subjective, and it has to be because it's fake, right? It can't be like buttoned up point by point, this is exactly what climate change is, because if they were to do that, it would be obvious that it was a gigantic lie. So it has to be this sort of blobbish, well, you know, climate change is everywhere and it affects disproportionately Black people. And you go, okay, how? Show me. Well, you know, I mean, it's climate change, and you know, and these are oppressed people, and climate change knows that somehow. I don't know, you know. So again, anybody that is critical of climate change, get ready for the Climate Disinformation Coalition to come after you. Okay, so when you see the hit pieces or the stories that Time Magazine runs, this is all propaganda. And the irony, right, is that the Climate Disinformation Coalition is going out looking to limit disinformation while they themselves are the biggest creators of disinformation. Their entire organization itself is disinformation. But it's always projection. You know, it's just classic project onto your enemy that which you yourself are guilty of. And that is what Climate Disinformation Coalition is about, 100%. We're going to go accuse all these people of lying about this fake climate change. How dare you lie about climate change? That's our job. that's basically what you expect them to say. It's like on the witness stand at some point. You're like, these people were lying about climate change. Don't they know that that's our job to do? And you're like, oopsie. It's like when Mika Brzezinski was like, you know, the media is supposed to tell you what to do. Don't think, you know, like that's our job. And you're like, everyone's like, oh shit, you're not supposed to say that. Like, we know you think that, but you're not supposed to actually say it. So who are the sponsors of Greenpeace, right? You told me, you said that if I heard who the sponsors of Greenpeace were, that I would, that I would know right off the bat that this is a deep state organization. Okay. If you're judged by the money that you raise, right? The money that you have to go out and finance and fundraise for in order to keep your organization afloat, right? Then you are, on some level, I know it's supposed to be charity and they're not supposed to be strings attached, but I live on planet Earth and there are strings attached when you give groups millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars every single year. You want something in return. So who's giving Greenpeace money? The World Economic Forum, the World Wildlife Fund. Oh, okay. No, let me back up here. I'll break it down into a couple major funds that are giving the money. I'll just read them off real quick, and then within those funds, I'll go into detail. Here are the major sponsors of Greenpeace: Rockefeller Fund, Hewlett Foundation, Climate Works, Equation Campaign, which you've probably never heard of, but I'll get into that, and Ted Turner. Let's work through these one by one. Rockefeller Brothers Fund. Okay, so when the Rockefeller Fund isn't sponsoring Greenpeace, who else are they sponsoring? Who are they sponsoring besides Greenpeace? It's very nice of the Rockefeller Fund to give money to Greenpeace. Who else do they give money to? They give money to the World Wildlife Foundation, depopulation. They give money to the United Nations, depopulation. They give money to the Tides Foundation, depopulation. Carnegie, Atlantic Council, the CFR. Okay. That's who the Rockefeller Fund is also sponsoring. They're sponsoring three outright depopulation groups: World Wildlife Fund, United Nations, and Tides. And then a bunch of other blobby Carnegie Foundation, Atlantic Council, Council on Foreign Relations. Okay. All deep state stuff. So now, this is not going to be a surprise, right? So the Rockefeller Fund is one of the biggest financiers of Greenpeace. And they also spend a lot of money on depopulation. Interesting. But I'm sure that's just like a total coincidence, right? I'm sure all the other sponsors are. No, you know where I'm going with this. Next on the list, Hewlett Foundation. Hewlett Foundation, you will find in most of these ops. They're sort of kind of like the MacArthur Foundation. You don't hear a ton about them. We're going to get into them as well. But you don't hear a ton about them, like not the way that you do Rockefeller or Carnegie or Ford, because they've got these really powerful family names. And you go, the Hewlett Foundation, it's like Hewlett Packard? Like who are we talking about? Well, the Hewlett Foundation sponsors, right? Number one on the list. Not necessarily in the amount of money that they give, but the number one on the list when I have to make a joke about who the Hewlett Foundation sponsors is the Transgender Law Center. Did you know that there's a Transgender Law Center? I had no idea, but the Hewlett Foundation knew about it because they've given them a bunch of money. They also sponsored the World Wildlife Foundation, which is depopulation, Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, which frankly is a depopulation outfit, is as far as I'm concerned, and of course, one that is the American Eugenics Society, known by a different name, and that is Planned Parenthood. So again, isn't it interesting that Greenpeace is taking money from the Rockefeller Fund and the Hewlett Foundation, and both of those groups give a lot of money to depopulation? But I'm sure it's a coincidence, right? Who's next on the list? I mentioned ClimateWorks. We've talked about ClimateWorks before. You're going to hear a lot about ClimateWorks in the future, okay? Just so you know. So who gives money to ClimateWorks so that ClimateWorks can give money to Greenpeace? Well, only the worst people in the world, that's all. The Ford Foundation, which might as well just be the CIA. The Open Society, which is George Soros. Open Philanthropy, which is Dustin Moskovitz, the guy that financed Event 201. The MacArthur Foundation that we just mentioned. The Hewlett Foundation. So now we're in like a we're in some sort of parallel universe where like foundations are donating to other foundations that are all, I don't know. They're all giving money to Greenpeace. And of course, ClimateWorks has also, this former CEO was John Podesta. So there's that. I mentioned a company or a group called Equation Campaign. And I said, you probably have never heard of it before. Well, they're, again, this is one of these foundations that sort of flies under the radar a little bit. Nobody knows too much about them. And then you go, well, you know, are they up to no good? Well, who's giving, you know, who's who's financing this group so that they can finance Greenpeace? Well, the groups that are behind the Equation Campaign are the Rockefeller Brothers Climate Initiative, the MacArthur Foundation, once again, and Open Societies with George Soros. So you see these groups that are like Soros is giving money to everybody. MacArthur's Foundation's giving money to everybody. Hewlett Foundation's giving money to everybody. And then at some point, all these groups all also give money to Greenpeace. So it's like coming from, it's just coming out of the same batch of money. And then last on the list I mentioned was Ted Turner. We know about Ted Turner. Ted Turner wants 7 out of every 8 people on the planet dead. Ted Turner has 5 kids. Give me the 4 that you want put up against the wall, Ted. You got to pick 4. I mean, you can't be a hypocrite on this, right? Let's dig a little bit deeper into this Equation campaign, because again, it's not going to do it justice to just since I mentioned you've never heard of it. Let's find out about it, right? This will be your entry into Equation Campaign and who this group is, and you're going to go, I got a bad feeling about this, right? I've got a really bad feeling about who these people are taking money from. And they're using this money to support Greenpeace. And so again, if you think that Greenpeace is saving the whales, follow the money. And when the money comes from Equation Campaign and you go, okay, Open Society, George Soros, who financed them in 2021. Open Society, George Soros, which has $37 billion to play with, okay? That's the amount of money that Open Society, and I'm not saying they gave all that to Equation Campaign. I'm just saying that's the war chest that they have to spend. MacArthur Foundation, they have $7 billion. It's the 12th largest foundation in the United States. And what they do is every year, so you go again, Greenpeace is financed by Equation Campaign. Who's financing them? MacArthur Foundation. Okay, who's financing the MacArthur Foundation? Like who's the MacArthur Foundation? Well, the MacArthur Foundation doesn't need to be financed by anybody else. They have their own money. Okay, that answers that question. So they have their own money. Who do they give their money to? They've got $7 billion, or the 12th largest foundation in the country. What are they into? Who are they financing? All right, well, here's who they're financing. They are financing ClimateWorks, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Climate Central. We talked about them earlier too in an episode a couple weeks ago about how they're the propaganda arm. Climate Central is the group that does all of the weathercasters and gets them to put those terrifying graphics of how the sun is going to kill everybody, and it's turned the map of your region into, instead of it being just sort of like orange when it's 80 degrees, now it's purple because it's 80 degrees and you're all going to die, right? So they're getting money from MacArthur Foundation. Population Council, that's not good. Sierra Club, that's not good. Ted Turner, they're even financing Ted Turner. When you're a billionaire organization and you're giving other billionaires money, like, to me, that's red flags, or money laundering, or both. They're giving money to Tides Foundation. They're giving money to the Brookings Institute, the Hudson Institute, and, of course, not to be left out, Planned Parenthood. So again, the MacArthur Foundation is financing depopulation agendas and Greenpeace. Why is that? Why are you financing Population Council, Sierra Club, Tides Foundation, Planned Parenthood, anything connected to the Rockefellers? Why are you so concerned with population and yet also saving the world with Greenpeace? Unless, of course, Greenpeace isn't what we think they are. And they're not. Who else is financing this Equation Campaign group that you've never heard of? Well, don't worry, because the Schmidt Family Foundation is. That would be Eric Schmidt. Remember him? Google Alphabet, former CEO, head of the Pentagon's Artificial Intelligence Program, World Economic Forum, Global Leader of Tomorrow, Bilderberg, CFR, Trilateral, you know, that Eric Schmidt. The guy who said that when you type a search question into Google, how many answers do you get? I don't know, 2 billion? That's a bug. You should only get one answer, the right answer. That's what he said on camera. So Big Brother is interested in financing Equation Campaign, who's interested in financing Greenpeace. Again, more on this list. Who's with Equation Campaign? Where are they getting their money? Eric Schmidt? Not good. Who else? Rockefeller Brothers Fund. This was established in 1940. Who are they financing? We know they've got a ton of money. Well, they're financing C40 cities, which is essentially 15-minute cities worldwide. Brookings Institute, Council on Foreign Relations, World Wildlife Fund, depopulation, Aspen Institute, and the United Nations. You're like, God damn. Like, I'll tell you what. If you were just a group that financed any of these on the list, that would be automatic disqualification. The fact that Equation Campaign is taking money from Soros and MacArthur and Schmidt and Rockefeller, that's no good. And this is a real red flag. And one of the things that besides just giving money to Greenpeace, this is the reason why you would actually recognize Equation Campaign. You wouldn't recognize them by their name, of course, because nobody knows these names, but you would recognize their work because they were the ones that put together and financed all of the activists during the Dakota Access Pipeline and the Keystone XL pipeline protests. You remember that? They run their propaganda through the Guardian. That's where they do most of their, you know, complaining about the climate. You know, we've only got 8 years to left and until everything's going to melt and all the, and won't you save these skinny polar bears and all that stuff that you read in The Guardian, if you ever read it on The Guardian, which is obviously propaganda. that stuff is being paid for. It's being financed by Equation Campaign. They just straight up said, we run our information through the Guardian. Like, we pay them to run our stuff. It's like, well, okay, that's propaganda. And they're like, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's green. I mean, yeah, of course. We're financing activists to shut down these pipelines. Of course it's propaganda. And that's what they're in the business of propaganda, which is the reason why they are why Equation Campaign is one of the largest financiers of Greenpeace, because they're in the propaganda business, and so is Greenpeace. Okay. Greenpeace continued. Lastly, there's another group full disclosure, I had never heard of this group before. And of course, as soon as you hear of them, you get this list. You know, I go dig through and find out who's sponsoring Greenpeace. And I find this one. I find Dutch Postcode Lottery. What? Is this some sort of like, is this tied to the Dutch government? Like, is this, what is this? Dutch Postcode Lottery. This is like, is this like a name of a company that doesn't mean anything that you just kind of picked out just to be ironic? I don't know. But anyway, you go, well, who is this Dutch Postcode Lottery? Maybe you guys in the UK are like, oh, we know who they are. Welcome to the party, Slowpoke. Like, figure it out. And you start to dig in, you go, well, who is, again, if they're donating money to Greenpeace, who is donating money to Dutch Postcode Lottery? And you start to dig in and you go, oh my God, this is bad. Okay, well, I'll read off the list. European Climate Foundation. Okay. The World Wildlife Fund. Here we go again. Now, again, a refresher course on WWF. Remember when wrestling in America was the WWF, and then they had like a lawsuit and they had to change it to WWE? And they said, well, the WWF, World Wildlife Fund, has the priority on that. And you go, you know, it's the panda bear logo. And you go, oh, they're saving pandas in China or something. I don't know. But they're definitely they're a wildlife fund for the world. And they're saving while Greenpeace is saving the whales, the World Wildlife Fund is saving the panda bears, right? I mean, it's in their logo, right? And no. No, it was started by Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands and Prince Philip, who was a Nazi and a pedophile. Nazi pedophiles starting the World Wildlife Fund? So when your grandma is about to write that check to the WWF because she thinks she's helping endangered lemurs in Malaysia, get a hold of her and explain to her, no, what you're writing a check to is depopulation. A group that is deeply involved. The WWF is really heavily involved in eugenics, thinning the herd. They're started by Prince Philip and Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. When they're not skinning children, they're what? Concerned about the environment? Get the fuck out of here with that. Okay? I mean, stop. This is a front company. Let's acknowledge what it is, right? So, but they're part of financing this group that I'd never heard of, Dutch Postcode Lottery, which now I'm going to hear everywhere. I'm going to see them everywhere. You know how that goes. And you go, well, I mean, yeah, sure, they're taking money from the European Climate Foundation and the WWF, and that's bad, right? But I mean, that's as bad as it's going to get, right? Right? Well, they take a bunch of money from the Clinton Foundation, and then they take money from Human Rights Watch and the Climate Group and Amnesty International. And you go, Jesus Christ, like this is the game. This is climate change controlled opposition. Okay. Their financing proves it. This is what they're doing. So you've got everybody, you know, you're polluting the world, you industrialists like the Rockefellers and Carnegies and all of you people. You're polluting the world. How dare you? We're going to stand up against you with groups like Greenpeace. And then you dig into who's financing them and you realize it's the same people they're protesting against that's financing them. That's called controlled opposition. That's like when, oh, I don't know, the Israeli Mossad starts Hamas. And then magically Hamas is a huge problem, right? And they go, we have to stop Hamas. It's like, well, you could have started by not creating them in the first place, you could have, you could also, I mean, so this is the nature of controlled opposition. The Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the Carnegies and the Vanderbilts and all these groups, you know, as they're destroying, did you ever stop to think that these people that are destroying the planet magically also are trying to save the planet? It doesn't make sense, right? So what they do is they create controlled opposition. They create groups to protest against them. They actually go out and create their own problem. But it's a managed problem. They're going to have that problem anyway. They know that. They've made the calculation. People are going to protest about this. So knowing that we're going to have people protesting against what we're doing, would you rather, two choices, would you rather have an uncontrollable protest that you can't stop or one that you started in the first place and that you control financially? That's what this is. This is climate change, controlled opposition, right? So I told you I'd talk about the Peace Corps. They aren't what they appear to be. Let's move on to the Peace Corps, shall we? They are an intelligence gathering operation. It is undeniable. And again, I want to reiterate this, and say, if any of you out there listening go, I was a member of the Peace Corps. How dare you come out here and say this? Look, like anything else, the people at the bottom don't know what the people at the top are doing. I put Freemasons in the same category too. I would say the vast majority of people that join that are Freemasons, that join their local lodge and everything, they do so because they're an insurance agent and they want to network and have a bunch of other connections in there. And you can, you know, I'll do your insurance for you and all your buddies and this and that, and we'll network. And there's another guy who's a real estate agent, another guy who owns a car dealership, and another, you know, and it's business and it's networking. Yeah, we have some drinks and maybe we, you know, do some unspeakable things. I don't know. But I don't think that the people at the bottom of the Freemasons know what's going on at the top. Okay. Much like I don't think that the bottom of the people at the Peace Corps know what's going on at the top either. I think they get into this for the right reasons. They get into it because they're do-gooders and they want to save the planet. And I have no problem with that. And I think that if you go through college and you come out of that and you go, what the fuck am I doing? Right. You're like, and you're sort of untethered and also unguided at the same time. And you're sort of looking for like, where, what am I going to do? Well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but let's go do something. I'll join the Peace Corps. They'll send me someplace international. I'll get into adventures and I'll figure it out from there. Right. And I think a lot of people do that, and that they come into it with good intentions that they're going to, you know, build the proverbial basketball hoops on the islands with Ted Stryker and Elaine. And then somewhere along the way, they either grow up, they get too old for that. They get disillusioned. They move on to other things. They may meet connections. They decide they want to get into the insurance industry and go home and go do that stuff, whatever. But at the very, very top, there's a lot more going on here. And again, you get misled by the name, right? Listen, it's the Peace Corps. They're all about peace. They're about promoting peace. They're out there just being peaceful, right? I mean, it's in the name, right? Just like Greenpeace. We're green and we're about peace, except that we're financed by the people that own all the banks and start all the wars, you know, but besides that, we're definitely about peace. Same thing with the Peace Corps. Who founded it, right? Who is involved in this? And you go back and you go, well, there's a guy who created the business plan for the Peace Corps, and his name is Joseph Slater, right? And when this guy worked for JFK as his title, it's a long one, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Educational and Cultural Affairs. Okay. And that's what his job was. And while he worked for JFK, he wrote essentially the business plan, creating the Peace Corps. And that would be one thing if you were just some guy who was out of college and you thought, hey, wouldn't it be neat if we created this volunteer organization that could really help out some underprivileged people around the country? And you run that by JFK and he goes, you know what? This sounds like a good idea. Thanks, young man. This is a a bright idea from a bright young mind. I really like where you're going with this. Let's do it. Now, if that were the origin story, or if that was how old Joseph Slater sort of came about this, you know, I might feel like, oh, this was a good organization that got derailed somewhere along the line, or they realized, you know, we are going to have all these people in all these foreign countries. We might as well have them collect information while they're out there. Now, if the story was what I just said, I might feel differently about it. But when you look into who this guy was and later kind of who he became, then what you understand is that the Peace Corps by design was an intelligence front. And you go, well, who is this Joseph Slater? Well, he was one of the guys that lobbied the U.S. to recognize China. And who benefits from recognizing China? Well, the Rockefellers do, of course. And Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon did, and George H.W. Bush was involved in all that stuff. But Joseph Slater was part of this group that lobbied the U.S. to recognize China. You know, we went through like a 24-year period where we didn't recognize China. It's not like they didn't exist anymore. We just were like, we're pretending like you're not there. We're not doing a lot of trade with you and whatever. But it's a huge untapped market, of course. And when you're the Rockefellers and you intend to move everything to the east, you're going to have to open that market up at some point. And this Joseph Slater guy was deeply involved in opening up China, or at least lobbying the U.S. to do that. But he went on to two other things too, as well. He was the chief economist at Standard Oil. That's the Rockefellers company, in case you didn't know. I mean, it's been broken up into a dozen pieces, and then they've sort of reformed into this into a variety of oil companies. But when you hear Standard Oil, that's John D. Rockefeller, right? And this Joseph Slater guy was the chief economist for Standard Oil, not just Standard Oil, but also the Ford Foundation, which again is basically like saying the CIA. So when you're the chief economist for the Rockefellers and the Ford Foundation, that puts you in a very interesting company. And so when you talk about the Peace Corps to people that don't know about the Peace Corps, and you mention who the guy was that was in charge of creating it, just know that this guy is a member of the Bilderberg Group, and he isn't just a member of the Aspen Institute. He was their president. Okay. So if you had any questions about whether this Peace Corps group was deep state or not, I hope that answered it. We're going to go a little bit deeper into some of this, but again, I just want you to, from a starting off point, know who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with guys that are tied to the Rockefellers, tied to the Ford Foundation, Aspen Institute, Bilderberg. It's not good, right? Another person, Bayless Manning, another name that probably doesn't jump off the page at you, but this guy was in charge of the Peace Corps program in Latin America in the early 60s, right? And one of the things that he did was the one that basically they said, go to Latin America, set it up so that we can bring a network of spies, peaceful people to help the natives and set this program up. And then as soon as you're done with this, then we have two other groups that would like you to go work for them immediately after you get done setting up the Peace Corps in South America. Who are those two groups? Oh, just the CIA and NATO. That's where he went to work after that, right? So that's Bayless Manning. You don't know the name, but... Well, you might if you went to Stanford, because he's the dean of Stanford Law School. He was a Bilderberg member. And again, much like Joseph Slater, who wasn't just a member of the Aspen Institute, but also the president, Bayless Manning wasn't just a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was also the president as well. So again, you've got the Peace Corps showing up in CFR, Bilderberg, Ford, Rockefeller, Aspen. It's not good. But there's more. Oh, there's more. And we're going to tie this to the episode that I did, Selling the Climate Hoax, a couple of weeks ago as well. Do you remember me talking about that horse face killer, Vanessa Carey? Remember her from Seed Global Health, the NGO nonprofit that she started, that she's the founder, CEO, chairman of the board. Well, I don't know. She's all those things that's in Uganda. You remember me talking about that? How I was like, well, I don't know much about Uganda, but all these people are like deep state tied. Well, guess who has a partnership with the Peace Corps? None other than Vanessa Carey's Seed Global Health. And it's not a small one. It's a big one. In fact, you might even say that they were intertwined with one another. Okay. So again, if you were like, well, you know, the Peace Corps could be fine. You know, maybe it's just some bad apples. I just want you to understand this. They have done a partnership with John Kerry's daughter, the one I told you about, who's going to be running the climate change grift, and the depopulate, who's deeply involved in the depopulation, working with Gavi, Gates Foundation, and World Health Organization in Uganda, definitely not sterilizing all these people without their knowledge, right? Like they did in Kenya. So what is this partnership, you say? What is it? You say, well, they're in a partnership together. Okay, this is what they do. This is what the Peace Corps and Seed Global Health do together. They send doctors abroad to train them. Basically, what happens is that Seed Global Health finds these doctors, and they found 191 physicians and nurses, and they sent them to Africa, to the Peace Corps people. And then the Peace Corps people helped that these 191 physicians and nurses then train health professionals in Uganda, of course, because that's where Seed Global Health is based, in Malawi, and also in Zambia. Okay. 191 physicians and nurses have trained 16,000 health professionals. I wonder what they've trained them in, because we already know what Seed Global Health is all about. Vaccines, 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 right? So this group, this combination, Seed Global Health plus the Peace Corps, has a name. And the name for this group is called Global Health Service Partnership. Doesn't necessarily roll off the tongue like the way Peace Corps does, but if you see a group called Global Health Service Partnership, that is John Kerry's daughter's group in conjunction with the Rockefeller, CFR, Aspen Institute, Bilderberg Connected Peace Corps. I wonder what they're doing in Africa. I mean, you know, they're training physicians. What are you training them on? I mean, to thin the herd? Of course, because that's what at their core these groups are about. When they're not pushing for world government, they're pushing for depopulation. And I don't know how many of these shows we have to do until we out all of these people for their crimes, but we'll keep doing them until there are no more shows to do. Boy, I told you at the end I would bring this back. I would bring the Peace Corps back to and tie it into 9/11. You're like, how are you going to do that one? Well, allow me to introduce the former director of the Peace Corps. This is a name that you will probably recognize and then go, why do I know this name? But from 1991 to 1992, which is not a real long time, the director of the Peace Corps was a lady named Elaine Chao. You might know her as Mitch McConnell's wife. Ding, 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 ding. Now is that ringing a bell? Is that ringing? You're like, oh, yeah. Glitch McConnell. That's right. When he's not spacing out and freezing up and probably shitting his pants in front of an audience of people at the podium, he's married to Elaine Chao. What's her background? I mean, is she up to no good? I mean, maybe for all I know, maybe she's just, you know, she's just another do-gooder who wants to help the Peace Corps. I mean, she was the director of the Peace Corps. That's as high as you can get, right? So she's definitely interested in peace. You know, even though her husband is sending billions of dollars to Ukraine and Israel to start wars, but she's super into peace, everybody. Trust her when she says that, right? So what did she do after the Peace Corps? Well, she went on to the World Economic Forum, which I'm sure you're all really surprised by, right? And also the Council on Foreign Relations, again. But you might recognize her from not too long ago, actually. Do you remember who the Secretary of Transportation was from 2017 to 2021 under Trump? It was Elaine Chao. She was the Secretary of Transportation all 4 years under Trump. Interesting. So she's like Republican connected, obviously. Mitch McConnell, her husband, she's a Republican. What else did she do? Did she have another position in the government before she was the Secretary of Transportation under Trump? Well, I'm glad you asked. As a matter of fact, she did. She was the Secretary of Labor from 2001 to 2009 under George W. Bush. Wow. Secretary of Labor and Secretary of Transportation and former director of the Peace Corps, right? I got to ask a question. We know about building 1 and 2, and we know about building 7. If anyone has read any of my stuff, you know that building 7 is the smoking gun, right? It's the one that when Richard Gage does an ad campaign around New York City with those mobile billboards or all the big cities, his ad campaign, which I thought was brilliant, was, did you know a third building fell on 9/11? And you just go, oh, that's so good. It's just a simple question. Did you know? Because if you didn't know, then you don't know about Building 7. But if you did know about a third building, then you know that there's questions, right? Did you know a fourth building fell on 9/11? That's the real question. Maybe not in the exact controlled demolition style of Building 7, and not on camera, and not announced by the BBC, 30 minutes earlier than it by Jane Stanley before it had actually gone down. Nothing like that. Building 6 doesn't get any love at all. But if you ask my friend Sam Tripoli, he'll tell you the key is Building 6, right? And he's not wrong about that. But do you know about Building 6? And why this matters? You're going, where are you going with this, man? What are you getting at? Well, I'll tell you what I'm getting at. Building 6 was blown to smithereens, right? Wasn't hit by an airplane as well. I mean, you might have figured that one out. But it had shrapnel damage, you know, all of these steel girders. I don't know if you've seen the picture of like a building with like a massive steel girder like sticking into it like it was a... like someone shot an arrow into a building. And you look around and you say, oh yeah, this was in part of that World Trade Center complex, which is a massive complex. I had a chance to walk around it back in September. With Billy Ray Valentine and Tony Arterburn, and Billy Ray was giving us a real good, a guided tour, like this is where Building 7 was, and this is where Building 6 was, and here's where 1 and 2 were, and this is the direction that the planes came in. And we wandered, I mean, we did that at like on a Friday night at like midnight, wandering around. We must have looked like we were casing the place, but we didn't have box cutters, so you know it wasn't us, right? So we were wandering around. I'm trying to get all the angles right and I'm like, where's Building 6? Like, Building 6 was over there. Okay, Building 6 is kind of an interesting one, right? So I'll get to the point. Housed inside of Building 6 were a couple of agencies, a couple of groups. You know about Building 7, how they had all these like groups that were looking into like WorldCom and all that stuff, and the CIA was in Building 7, and you're going, oh, I've got a really bad feeling about all these groups in here. Well, guess what? Located in Building 6 was the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Division in New York City. ATF was there. Also, the El Dorado Task Force, which was running the money laundering investigation into the crimes of the Enterprise, the Bush administration, which had all those loans were all those, all that stuff was, all those notes were reaching maturity the following couple days of 9/11. And they needed to get those things processed and cleared, and they needed to get without an investigation, and they needed the investigation to end. And so they have the El Dorado Task Force in Building 6 running these investigations. Well, that place has got to go away, right? And it does, of course. And the Department of Commerce is located in this building. And guess who else is located in Building 6? The Department of Labor. And who is the Secretary of Labor at this time under George W. Bush? Well, none other than Elaine Chao, the Secretary of Labor, has her office, the Department of Labor, in Building 6, which conveniently was destroyed on 9/11. Oh, but that's not all. You know who else had a building, had an office in Building 6 that you never hear about? The Peace Corps. As they say, peace sells, but who's buying? Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. Go to the website, macroaggressions.io. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.